Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren.
Good morning. We're gonna make it peppy today, okay?
All right. Well,
we gotta keep it up. We gotta get out of this funk, this weather. Otherwise, it's just gonna drive me nuts. So I gotta find.
Yeah, I'm going on a vacation in my mind because that's about as far as I'm going.
Well, at least for now. But we gotta find a way to fight our way out of this funk and weather. So we gotta keep it as peppy as we can be. Okay.
All right, I'm going to try.
Play a Bruno Mars song, like Uptown Funk. That always seems to get people going. Okay?
All right, but one minor gripe this morning.
With
I was
me?
Getting all, no, not you. I was getting all mad at the mailman because I was supposed to get my shipment of the drink or whatever, so I was going to start losing my weight. Turns out that it's coming from UPS, so I took aim at the mailman, and I shouldn't have. However, he still didn't deliver any mail yesterday.
He didn't deliver any mail yesterday. We've been having a problem with our mail. I don't know if they're just cutting back on service in general.
Does that? Like, they already are closed one day a week.
This is not peppy.
It's not peppy, but I know. But I had to just bring this up because it's like they have a whole tagline. Be it rain, wind, snow, you're still going to get your mail delivered, even if it's junk mail. That should be the tagline.
It's got to be very depressing for postal workers, too, because weather.
Yeah, but
But another thing, it is. Let's give him a little bit of a break.
All right, yeah, I'm giving him a break. As long as there wasn't anything important in the mail that was supposed to come yesterday that didn't. And our daughter's waiting for a shipment for her stuff, too, and it hasn't come in, and I don't know if it's supposed to come from the post office or from UPS. So either way.
A lot of variables right
now. A lot of variables. I'm waiting for packages.
Let's get other depressing news out of the way real quick. I know you're going to mention it. We'll talk about it now with Whitney Houston's daughter.
Oh, yeah. So one of our Facebook friends, Jackie Serrell, who's also a publicist and is in the know, she predicted that the Brown family and the Houston family were going to pull the plug on Bobby Christina on the same day that Whitney Houston died, which was February 11th, and it turns out that's what they're doing. So at the stroke of midnight, I guess, they're going to turn off the machines that are keeping her alive because she's brain dead, and she'll die the same day that Whitney Houston did a few years ago.
Right. Can you get her to make different types of predictions for us in the future, things that are going to actually help us monetarily?
She's not like making financial predictions. She's just
doing
pop culture.
Tell me which horse is going to race, win its track. Tell me which stock's going to be going up by 50%.
That's not her ball of wax.
Those are the type of predictions.
That's not what Jackie does. Jackie's pop culture like me. We look at these things and then we say, you know what, that makes perfect sense. That's happening.
I'm not that big into pop culture. I mean, a little bit, there's certain things, but the name that keeps coming up now ever since the Grammys that just annoys me is Kanye West. And this just shows the state of our world here. So,
he makes sure fans know Paul McCartney.
I guess Paul McCartney did something with Kanye.
He played the guitar. I couldn't believe, he was a background player for this song.
So here, the title is Kanye West Makes Sure Fans Know Paul McCartney. And it goes down. It has the article, and then it has some tweets of some young fans and what their response is to who this guy Paul McCartney is.
Well, that's just depressing.
So
right
first
there.
Tweet here is, I don't know who Paul McCartney is, but Kanye is going to give this man a career with this new song.
Oh my God.
Here's another tweet. Who TF, who the, you know what, it's Paul McCartney. This is why I love Kanye, for shining light on unknown artists.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
Kanye has a great ear for talent. This Paul McCartney guy is going to be huge. I don't have any more. Oh, but when I saw that, I was...
Okay,
here's the thing. I'm not a big Beatles fan. I never have been. I'm not a huge Paul McCartney fan. But I do recognize that they are one of, if not the most talented bands in the history of this country, and Paul McCartney is obviously as big a figure in rock. In the world. Yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying.
I know. I am
and
thoroughly...
And the fact that anybody would even dare compare the accomplishments of Kanye West, you put him even in the same.
They would annoy me.
Paul McCartney.
But you know what annoyed me at the Grammys, watching Paul McCartney play with them, was the fact that they didn't even let him sing. They just made him a backup guitarist, and they could have had anyone, I mean, play the guitar. Why wouldn't they let him sing? Like, he was singing, but she couldn't really hear his voice. And he's Paul McCartney, for God's sake. Like, he was the lead singer. He had, wings. He sang with whatever, Stevie Wonder. I mean, poor Stevie Wonder just played the harmonica. Like, what was that?
Well,
I
I don't know
mean,
if Paul McCartney's wings, they were that great.
whatever. I like some of those songs.
I
But
know you do.
I like Paul McCartney. But I just, like, don't marginalize these veterans. I mean, yeah, everybody stood up and clapped, and Stevie Wonder was walking on stage playing a harmonica, but then he didn't sing. And I was like, dude, sing. You're Stevie Wonder, for God's sake. So I don't want to, you're huge.
Yeah,
And again, I'm sure that they probably tweeted, "Hey, who's the blind dude with the harmonica?"
right. I'm sure they did.
Right? That's just sad right there. Have you
It
heard
is
of Paul McCartney?
to shake it. Yes,
Yes, he's shaking his head.
our
It's the
son's
no
heard
name son.
our son has heard of a lot of different musicians. I mean, he's very well versed when it comes to music. He's becoming, I think, a pretty big Jimi Hendrix fan.
He wrote a paper on it.
He wrote a paper on Jimi Hendrix.
I'm
He's
sure we're
pretty, yeah, he knows his stuff. He definitely knows his stuff. He does, again, he always asks me if it's something that's a classic song or not. And I try to tell him that he can have his own opinion too and argue with me that something is a classic song. And some more times he's coming up with reasons why certain songs aren't classic songs. So
Yeah. Well, the other controversy with Kanye West is that he went up on stage after Beck won like Album of the Year, and he was like all pissed
he's just an
that
ass.
Beyoncé didn't win it. And our friend Dave Gildarubio, who's a music writer, posted something about five reasons why Beck should have won the award versus Beyoncé. And one of the things was Beyoncé had 25 writers on her album. Beck had one himself. Like, it's like he's been around for 20 something years and.
But seriously, and what does Beyonce really need Kanye? Does she really need him going out and being her most vocal supporter as to why she should? I mean, I think she's okay on her own.
Well, it's just ridiculous. It really is. And this is
He's a
the thing,
douche.
but you know what? The thing with the Grammys is that at the heart of it, the Grammys are like, let's say, the Oscars, where it is classic. If you still go back to classic music, true music lovers, and yes, you have the spectacle and all the big stuff that Madonna does and Beyonce does and whatever, but they still recognize truly talented musicians. And kudos to the Grammys for doing that. It's
Well, you know how I feel about all those things about the Oscars, about the Grammys. It's just self-important millionaires getting up on stage and
You know what?
congrats,
But the thing with the
congrats.
Grammys, if you notice, there were way more performances than there were awards given out. It was
That's
all
true.
about the performances, and I've worked award shows before, and I mean there are some incredibly talented people out there. I mean, when I used to do the CMA Awards, I was blown away at how it was just effortless for these people, and that is just truly amazing. So that's different than your actors who go up on stage and announce a category for best animated short, which shouldn't be even on the broadcast.
What's that?
Best animated short.
You're destroying like a person.
The guy who did the animated short,
Right.
I think he's entitled to his award, but just not on the main telecast. It's boring. Especially, wait, no, best foreign animated short, even better. So he comes on and he has like a thick like Italian accent. You can't understand what he's saying, and he's like so excited and thanking everyone, and and he just wasted like 3 minutes.
Yes, you're very understanding. That's good.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just, I'm cranky. So, but we're trying to have a
So on the
happy note.
opposite end of the spectrum in terms of these, like that overpaid singers and actors and actresses that have more money than they'll ever know what to do with, is something on the other extreme, which is obviously the impoverished. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because a good friend of ours. They started working with an organization that she brought to our attention yesterday called the Sharing Shelf. And I started taking a look at it, and I have to say, it's very cool. Here on the website, again, it's called the Sharing Shelf, and it says here on the website, have you ever stared at your daughter in her favorite pink dress, a size too small but still in perfect condition, and wondered who will wear it next? What about those denim shorts your son wore all summer, but is still rugged
Rugged.
and blue? What will you do with those pictures now that your children are in middle school? We have the answer. Donate gently used clothing to the sharing shelf, and we will make sure that your treasured children's clothing are given to directly to children in need. And this is the part that I thought was very interesting on the demographics of Westchester County, which, you know, shed some light on this issue. It says Westchester County, home to some of the wealthiest families in the nation, is also home to some of the poorest. Westchester has the 13th highest median family income of any county, while 7% of our county's population lives below the poverty line. According to the 2012 American Community Survey, 12.7% of children in Westchester are living in poverty. In some communities, the percentages are even higher, which this is amazing, these numbers here. 25% in Mount Vernon and 27% in Yonkers. Approximately one-third of all households spend at least 35% of their income on housing, leaving fewer resources for other needs. So I'm still learning more about the organization, but it looks like they take, you know, stuff that almost looks like brand new, right? And they
give it to families in need. And then they're doing a whole event with girls called Girltopia in late April, where they're going to take girls in the ages of 13 to 18 and provide, you know, clothing for them, and they're going to style them and dress them and from all different cities in Westchester County. So it's amazing. And I was saying we should go through our daughter's closet because she's got a lot of stuff. Between her and her friends,
yeah, absolutely,
she can dress an entire, you know.
So if you do have anything out there that you think looks like it's in really good shape that you think somebody out there in need could use, I would put it off to the side and see if you can look at this organization. Again, it's called the Sharing Shelf. And the contact person is also another person that we know from our temple, this woman named Deborah Blatt, and she's the program coordinator for all this. And it looks like her number on the website is 914-305-5950. So I think if you have anything that you're looking to donate or would like to help out with the cause, she'd be a good person to contact. And her email address is thesharingshelf@fsw.org. THESHARING.
Or it's the sharing shelf. No, it's the sharing shelf at fsw.org. I don't know what you missed that whole part there. You said fsw.org.
You just missed the whole beginning part of what I just said.
Okay.
I was spelling out the sharing shelf at fsw.org.
Oh, I just thought you just said the other. Sorry.
No.
My bad.
English is my first language.
Okay, thanks. All right. Ooh, that was a little bit. Ooh, okay. Sorry.
This is
how we get out all of our angst, by the way.
This is
how, if we're annoyed at each other for some reason, because I know this morning that Darren did get up with the dog super early. She's on this kick now where she'll get up at 4:30 or 5, and I don't know why, and she just then has to go, and she just whines and whines until somebody.
But then I got to go back to sleep only to wake up again to go ahead and make all the sandwiches and feed the animals and then take our daughter to
school. Listen, you are the best husband ever, okay?
Thank you.
I just want to tell you.
I just want that acknowledged. That's all.
I am acknowledging it. You are the only husband I know who has really stepped up to the plate. You know, you had a career change and we transferred roles.
And look where it's gotten us.
We're sitting at the kitchen table just shooting the breeze. But honestly, it really helps a lot that you take on that kind of responsibility. And then I come home and I still make a dinner here and there.
I still need a pretty apron.
Yes, I'm going to get you an apron. You're supposed to get me a bathrobe for Valentine's Day.
Oh,
that's
God.
supposed to be my gift.
You ain't kidding. Maybe we can go to the sharing shelf and get you one.
No. Let's be real. Come on. I'm in need in good pajamas and a bathrobe. That would be really nice. But yeah, so that's so let's go back in terms of other entertainment news. Brian Williams, man, he tells tall tales. He's like Paul Bunyan right now.
They got his replacements lined up.
Yeah, but they keep saying like all these things I just read, like on Hurricane Katrina he claimed that he saw a body float by and that the Ritz-Carlton was like being filled with like a gangs of marauding villains or whatever. And the manager was like, first of all, our hotel was on the edge of where the flooding was, so the water didn't even go up higher than your ankle, so you wouldn't be able to see a body float by. And he said, and nobody was coming in here.
And it turns out that you think the Brian was actually in San Diego.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it's just so funny that everybody's coming forward. They're like, nope, that didn't happen. No, he did this. Nope, that didn't happen either. I mean, he's a great storyteller. But if you're a storyteller, maybe you should write a novel.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's his new career. He could be like John Grisham.
I was going to say, hook up with John Grisham. Look at that. You're even thinking about the same one.
Right?
Yeah.
He could be John Grisham or the other one who has people write for him. Who's the one who has like a whole, it's his name, but everybody really writes all of his books now? What's that guy's name?
That guy. I know who you're
talking about. That guy. You know. The guy who writes all those mystery books. Robert Ludlum's book, but there's another guy. Of course, I'm Googling who's the guy who writes all the books.
Well, usually if you're a BS artist or, you know, a liar or whatever, it's not just one time. Most more times than not, when somebody commits something as egregious as he did, which I think is pretty egregious on his part, basically claiming to have been under the, you know, in the line of enemy fire, right? Isn't that what he basically said?
Well, yes, it is. His thing was being shot down in a helicopter.
Yeah, it's just more times than not, somebody that has, that tells somebody, you know, a tale like that, it's not the first time that they've committed such an act, right? I mean,
what's happening now is everybody's coming out of the woodwork and they're just, you know, claiming that he's...
Character flaws are character flaws.
Yeah.
That's it. There's very unusual that it's, you know, just a one-time occurrence, no matter what it is. It goes to anything in life. If you lied once, it's very easy to lie again.
He is stretching the truth. I mean, here's the thing that's sad. It's just that he has spent his whole career, he achieved what he, you know, his dream job, and now he's going out, you know, I don't know if he's going to be replaced completely. I mean, right now they're just looking, they're talking about replacements, and then I was reading that Matt Lauer, they're thinking that if they do replace him, they replace him with somebody younger, even though Matt Lauer would be good to kind of move him into the anchor chair, but he doesn't want to do it. So he's 57 at this point, so he's kind of on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Up there.
The bottom line is when something happens where you get caught, right, in something, more times than not, there's usually other shoes that are going to drop as well. It's not usually just that one incident. No matter what it is in life, whether it's Brian Williams or anybody else or any other type of thing, it's, you know, the spouse cheating on somebody, right? More times than not, it's usually not just one time.
Yeah, no.
Right?
I mean, we've heard that. We've heard stories, but we won't go there.
Yeah,
and this is a PG
broadcast. Time. Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to keep it peppy.
Keep it peppy yeah. And then, well, yeah, I mean, so then I can't really bring up Bruce Jenner because that's kind of not peppy either.
Oh,
it's down stuff. Like,
no.
He's not,
well,
yeah.
We keep getting brought into this.
Dark side of stuff.
Yeah.
But nobody prints happy news. Nobody.
Well, let's try to find something happy. I mean, there's a picture of this pit bull.
Dance like nobody's watching. Okay,
yeah,
that's good. There's always a good happy dog video. Darren's looking at his Facebook page.
I'm trying
to see
if there's
something.
I don't have the same type of feed that you have on yours. Usually you get a lot better stuff than I do. Actually, I'm actually looking at your page right now.
Oh, that's it.
Your
that's why.
Your page is depressing right now.
What are people saying?
I didn't really see. So are you going to be going into... the office today?
I'm going into the office today.
You only
today.
Have a few more days left in that place, right?
Yes. Well, no, not... Well, our lease is up on February 28th, so we have to start packing up.
How are they treating you in there, by the way?
They're fine. They're fine. You know, they're not... They're
Beth is basically... I mean, many of you already know that Beth is in her company, along with her partner, are parting ways with the existing landlord. They're taking their show into the city and out of Scarsdale. I don't know if it's, I mean, is the Jeffersons moving on up song appropriate?
Well, going from Scarsdale. No, but the one thing I have to say that what we're doing is this working environment called WeWork. And And what I like about it is that the space that we have is going to be across from Bryant Park, and it's beautiful. I mean, the office itself is a little small, but then they've got all these great common areas that are amazing. I told you, they have free beer on tap, so you can come into the city, you can go to dinner afterwards, you can, like, you know, start having, like, a nice, fun time in the city, especially as the weather eventually gets nice. And they even have, like, they have an offshoot of it, like an HR component, where you could have somebody really take care of your payroll and everything else, and you get big discounts. So they have lots of different deals and discounts and places. Oh, the dog is like, she's really being a bad child today.
She's terrible.
She is being so bad.
Getting
okay, so I actually spoke with a person who does all the HR stuff, and you know, as a small business, it would really be great to have someone to speak to who can counsel us on hiring decisions and what we can afford to do and things to take the business to the next level, because I find that I'm a client service person and a creative person and a salesperson, but I'm not a money person, and that's what always gets me. And it would be nice to finally have a team of people that are looking out for our best interests, and I'm not good also, even in terms of the hiring side of it. We do a lot of hiring of consultants versus full-time employees, thinking because you get a consultant, then you don't have to commit to them for an extended period of time. But then a lot of times with consultants, you don't know how long they're working, how much time they're really devoting to you, and you spend more money and you get less results than having someone 5 days a week. Fortunately, this year, we actually have found someone who is amazing, who I used to work with, who had, you know, sort of has the same mindset as me, so I feel like we're on the right path. But I do want to spend this year having less and less consultants and building it where it's more of, like, you know, figuring out, well, how does this full-time...
Consultants kill businesses.
They do, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, I've had consultants who, like, you know, they charge $350 an hour, they charge this an hour, and look, I could charge those kind of rates too, but if they're only working for 5 hours, how much are you getting from them?
Yeah, you do not want to have consultants in your business too long. You find that you're hiring consultants all the time, time to reevaluate your business and think about doing something else, because consultants, more times than not, there could be times when they can be very good and provide a good quick fix to something that, you know, if they have a great idea and something that's easy to implement.
Right.
Kind of thing. But if you're constantly hiring consultants for stuff, it's just not a good cost-effective long-term way to run a business.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think, you know, and even in terms of when you have clients who aren't paying on time, and then you have a consultant who wants the money up front. So here you are, you're in a deficit and you're like out the money. And I'm kind of at a place where if you had a full-time employee who's working on 5 or 6 projects at the same time, you don't feel as bad because the rest of the budget is going towards it.
I hear you. So I was something that does make me happy, by the way, because I'm looking for things to make me happy. There's this thing, it looks like there's a film. I saw a friend of mine, Eric Sherman, who's a writer, looks like he posted this on Facebook, said this is going to be a great film. And it looks like the 86 Mets, The Lords of Flushing.
Oh, that's Heather Quinlan. That's my friend. That's
really?
My friend's mother's daughter, Heather Quinlan. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me anything about
it. I think it is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, she's
the producer. She's doing this documentary, and she got all these, like, great players, and she did a Kickstarter campaign, and she raised money to do the documentary. We should have her on the show, Heather Quinlan.
I would love to have that. That's
Heather's
good.
Awesome, yeah.
I mean, I am a huge Mets fan, and have been in a state of despair for so many years, sort of wanting and waiting for the Mets to make a return trip to the World Series and win another one. I still think 1986. I still look at 1986 like it was yesterday. And then, you know, in 2000, when the Mets played the Yankees, got their butt kicked. That was very difficult. But back in 2006, you and I went to the game together, right?
Yes, and that was that terrible,
yeah,
like,
Carl,
rain
yeah,
thing?
No, or, well, 2006, I thought the Mets were going to make it to the World Series again. They were looking really good. There was the amazing catch in left field by Andy Chavez, which was one of the best catches in the history of baseball that would be forgotten because the Mets didn't win. And then, unfortunately, in his last in the final out, Carlos Beltran was at the plate and looked at a two-strike pitch. It was a curveball that just went smack center of the plate, and he got caught looking, and that was the end of the game. And ever since that point, the Carlos Beltran moment back in, like I said, it was 2006, the Mets have been terrible, and it's very difficult for me, and I know it's difficult for our son too, because he's a big Mets fan. He doesn't know what it's like to see them in a winning ball club.
Yeah.
And back, you know, there's a time, you know, it's very easy to make fun of the Mets, but there was a time when, believe it or not, when the Mets actually ruled New York. There was a not, you know, it wasn't a very long time, because the Yankees obviously have dominated the New York City and the suburbs for, you know, most of Yankee history. But back in the 80s and the early 90s, the Mets were the main team in town. And in 1986, when they won that World Series, that was my, to this day, still my best sports moment.
Well, I don't know if this is the same movie as that movie, but this one is being produced by the creator of The King of Queens, and it has, like, interviews with Bill Buckner, Daryl Strawberry, Lenny Dykstra, Doc Gooden.
But do you know why they keep bringing back the 86 Mets? Do you know why they talk about so much?
Because they're approaching, what, their 30th anniversary or
something? Well, that's part of it, but there's also another reason why the team is so fascinating to people, is that when they look back, the team, a lot of the guys on the team just weren't...
They were thugs. They were, like, druggies and drinkers.
There was a lot of problems on that team. Somehow they managed to pull it out. But there's another book that a guy here in the Rochelle wrote called... And the year the bad guys won, it was about the 1986 Mets and the fact that all the stuff that they did during the season, despite that, pull out.
Well, and do you remember on our honeymoon? Who did we see?
Oh, that's right. We saw him with the Lenny Dykstra.
He did, before he went to jail.
And I think Beth even made a gesture. Like, so, oh, look over there. It's Lenny Dykstra. And if anybody knows, Lenny Dykstra...
Wally Backman would do this,
right,
and
Lenny Dykstra was famous. For when he went up to the plate and he was holding his bat, he would start fidgeting with his fingers on the bat. And he goes, "Good, our dog."
Our dog's out of control. Yeah, so I made the gesture, and I think he noticed. And we were like at a restaurant in Florence, Italy. We saw like some crazy celebrity sightings. We saw Dennis Rodman in front of a hotel in Rome. We saw him in Florence. I don't know who else we saw, but we saw a couple of cast characters. We saw some major athletes in Italy that summer. We got married.
Oh yeah, we did. We saw quite a few people.
Yeah. Right. I said we saw Dennis Rodman and we saw Lenny Dykstra. I don't know who else we saw.
Oh, and we saw...
Did we see like Jane Pauley? I think we may have seen Jane Pauley.
We did see Jane Pauley.
She was in the restaurant in Florence, too. That was the restaurant where I got sick because I had never eaten carpaccio, which is raw beef, and didn't know that it would, like, eviscerate my stomach. So I pretty much, after that point, had stomach issues for the rest of our trip.
Oh, and we saw Jean-Claude Van Damme, right, with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, they were filming a movie,
They were filming a movie at the time.
Yeah, we gotta go
back to Italy. That was a great movie.
I don't know what the movie was. It was a great honeymoon. I mean, it was a great trip.
Yeah.
We gotta just go like cheap tickets, get on a Eurail, whatever. We'll take a plane to the cheapest location, and then we'll just ride the rails and figure out how we're gonna get our way through Europe. You said that the Euro whatever is like almost
the dollars
equivalent.
The dollars. Yeah, I think I have to take a look at the exchange rate. The dollar has been extremely strong over.
I would say, like, in the next, like, couple of years before our daughter goes to college, we should try to, like, do a Europe trip.
A whole family trip?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
You think she'll want
to
come with us?
Oh, to go to Europe, so we'll... Yeah.
And by the way, if we do go, we're not taking the dog trip.
Oh, man, no. She can't. Listen, she's an unruly dog. We have not really gone away at all without her. We haven't boarded her. We haven't done anything, and now you know why. You hear this like toddler. I can imagine if we went on a plane with her, people would be like out of control. They would not be happy with us at all.
They would not be happy whatsoever.
Yeah. So I think we got to get our son ready for school right now.
When you say we, who do you?
Right. I'm gonna get ready for work right now, and we're gonna then tend to our dog so she stops whining.
So who is your prediction for Brian Lynn's replacement? They've already ruled out
Matt Lauer. I mean, I'm not really into Willie Geist. And the guy, there's one of them I can't even pronounce his last name.
Carl Quintanilla.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
He's from CNBC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, Lester Holt is just sort of like he's there. But it's not like
he's...
I mean, I remember Lester Holt used to be like on the he was like on local news. Well, he doesn't really.
It is kind of funny how quickly this spiraled. And yeah, he's just going to be on hiatus for a few days too. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, who's going to be the replacement? I don't know. You know, there's nobody that really grabs me as like a anchor that I'd really want to see. Or
well, what do they really want in an anchor? Like, what is it? Like, what is it that made Brian?
Good hair. Right. It's like okay. Anchorman. You need to have good hair.
You do. You need good.
A
right.
good
you
voice.
Okay.
You know, decent looking. And then when the big stories hit, he needs to go into the, you know, he has to have a journalistic background. He's like serious business.
They want somebody who they can look at in the scene, who can come to viewers, like during
if something bad happens, like right?
Like, right. I mean, it's,
yeah, somebody who you trust.
I imagine it's a checklist that is probably 100 to 200 different boxes that they have to check off to meet that criteria, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're talking about the anchor, right? Huge.
Yeah, no, and a nice soothing voice. You know, it's I don't know. It's tough. I don't really know any. I'm trying to think what shows that I watch that with news that I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, all the really great anchors are kind of they're no longer there.
They used to be some incredible ones, right? I mean, Peter Jennings, Dan Rather,
Walter Cronkite.
Yeah. And do you think Brian Williams is not going to be remembered as being great?
Well, not after this.
Not after that.
Not
I mean,
after
before
this.
That, like, was he really that?
Was he that? No, I don't remember.
Like
yeah, look, I mean, you know, Bob Woodruff.
Did he have a tag?
No. Oh, yeah. You say classic.
No.
yeah, I mean, Bob Woodruff was, I think, in line at ABC for the. I don't know if he was in line for the anchor. He may have been. And then he was injured. And
hey, you
and
were friendly with.
His wife, Lee Woodruff, who is amazing. Yeah, we do from time to time. She's actually a contributor on CBS This Morning. She's lovely. She's so wonderful. But her, you know, husband is still, now he's reporting, and I don't know if he anchors different telecasts, but he's, someone like that would be great. I mean, but he's from ABC, so they'd have to wrestle him away from his job.
And speaking of new people, you got to get your friend, Kim.
She's got to call in. She's supposed to. Yeah, she was busy going to some charity thing. We got to get her to call in.
Well,
and
she's not doing the morning news, so there's no reason why.
Right,
can't
I can
come
wake
on.
Her up and say, come on, and we'll get some celebrities on our air. It's time.
Okay, time
to start
time,
getting some
time to start working on
start
it.
Doing some talent booking on the side of everything else that I do.
I like it.
All right, great. So on that note, thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.